What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump into it. You can find this episode as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Also, be sure to follow us on our new Instagram page. That's In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. It is live. We post videos weekly. So follow us, interact, let us know what you guys think and anything we should talk about in our further episodes. Finally, our biggest piece of information, the biggest thing we've done on the podcast since, we have finally released our own Patreon channel, $3 a month, less than a cup of coffee. If you enter now before July 31st, you will be entered in to win a $150 jersey of your choice. NHL, F1, NASCAR, hockey, football, baseball, hell, even, I mean, you could get a college jersey. We don't care. $150, your choice. If you wanted to get multiple up to that amount, we're happy to do so for you. So thanks for listening to this and enjoy this episode. Peace.
All right. Welcome back, guys.
What's up? Third time's
a charm?
Something like that.
Oh,
man.
Back from our hiatus. Back from our 2-week hiatus.
We are.
Took a little freedom. Yeah, a little bit of a freedom break, as we like to call it. You know, it had celebrated
for kilometer.
What?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What the?
What even is
exactly?
That?
What the fuck is a kilometer?
I don't know.
Sorry, guys. We are an English podcast, USA. And they decided to speak something. Anyway, we're here. Yeah. We're back.
Sure
2-week hiatus. You know what? I'm actually kind of glad we didn't film last week because it's been kind of a slow couple weeks. As we start gearing up towards fantasy, all that stuff. But real quick, let's talk about ourselves, you know, how we're feeling. Let's be vulnerable. We're therapists in here. Zach, how was your week been? I know you just started your job. Finally.
Good, man. Yeah, I started a job Monday. So I had orientation, did about 6 hours of paperwork. Always fun.
Nice.
Some sexual assault stuff and sexual harassment stuff, all those videos, all that good stuff. And then yesterday I actually went to the job site, which is in Long Beach, which is only like 25 minutes away, which is nice. Obviously I learned some stuff there and had, again, another sexual harassment video I had to watch. I watched probably like 4 hours total of it. So,
and what of that
needs to be said?
Yeah. What have you like learned so far? Like what?
So, and then today,
what are some good do's and don'ts?
And so then today I actually got into it a little bit and, yeah, it's been good. It's been good.
Cool.
I can't complain. Taking a week off from my working out because I'm done with my cut. So I've just had a good week, and I know Keaton's about to ask me again that same question. And Anthony, how's your week?
No. It was unrelated to that. It was unrelated to that.
Okay. Send it.
Let's say I've got like a really hot coworker, female one. And I tell her, yo, that ass is looking fat. Is that sexual harassment? Like, you should know. You are the expert. Like, I need to know personally.
Yes.
Okay.
It definitely could be.
Okay. From your training, you learned that.
Yes. I learned that from my training only. Otherwise, I would have said, yeah, dude. Like, it's perfectly fine.
Damn, that thing's got to be pink. But no. I took the classes, so I know not to say that.
Is that thing hawked Hua?
Ant, how's your week going, dude?
Week's going good. This week has consisted of me studying a lot since I have been kind of slacking on that for the past like few days, maybe week, honestly, if I'm gonna be honest with it. Just been getting myself distracted and still waiting for an email back. Still, I think I'm gonna go out to the Wildland Fires that I got called out to next week, which I'm really excited for. And still studying, just wanting to get that done with, honestly, at this point. The anticipation is killing me. And then other than that, though, it's been good. Been hanging out. Zach and I have been watching a lot of Dexter, so getting him into that show. So that's been a good time. But other than that, just wanting to take this test. I want to start working, and I can't do that until I take this test.
Really? Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's all I want right now.
Yeah.
What about you though, Keaton? How was your fourth? How was everything?
I'm good. I think we lost Zach for a second there, so we're gonna, you know, whatever. Fourth was good. Didn't really do much. Put up some You know what? I really am starting to feel like an old man. I put up some heat resistant vinyl on my windows. I went to Home Depot. There he is.
There he is.
I went to Home Depot and bought some vinyl that I put on my windows, like a tint, and it helps keep the heat out. So feel like an old man. Went, watched fireworks, didn't even drink, hardly shot anything off. So I really felt like I'm out of it. And then let's see, week's been good. Just getting back into the flow of working, being employed, you know, not a statistic. Going on vacation next. Well, I guess next week for the next episode that comes out. But yeah, just fun stuff.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Hold on. Give me just. Oh fuck me. Okay. Give me a second here, Millie. I gotta get you off. I'm sorry. Come here. Please hang up there. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
I don't know. Yeah,
I can.
The internet is just taking a poop.
Big poop.
Okay.
Poopy. All right. Well.
All right. I have no clue what the fuck you just said. So I'm hoping your week was good.
Yeah, week was good. Week was good.
That's good. That's good.
Good week. All right. Well, let's just jump into this episode.
Green 18, red 48. Settle down. Settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
2-7, 2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just
right.
This is a
I don't think game. Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Wait, are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes, yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
It's funny. I just noticed that you caught me whacking drinking Coca-Cola in that one.
I didn't even notice. We're off to a terrible start.
We know there are multiple clips of you drinking a Coca-Cola.
That's almost episode-like.
That happens every single episode.
Hey, whoa. What's up with you taking a break from dark sodas, Anthony?
Yeah.
Thought you're taking a hiatus from the Coca-Colas because of some...
Kind of disrespectful to Sprite, I'm not going to lie. You got it for 1 week and then you just threw him to the curb?
Dude, I did, honestly. Not good. Maybe I need to start drinking that Canada Dry.
Honestly, apologize.
I'll do that.
Just drink sparkling water.
I'm sorry, Canada Dry or Sprite?
It was Sprite, but we have Canada Dry in the fridge, so maybe I'll just start drinking that, honestly. Canada Dry is great.
We do.
Blech.
We have it for a chaser. But
great stuff, man.
Moving
but
on.
We're not here to talk about drinks. We're here to talk
whatever,
about
whatever. Football.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Moving on
and,
to what we came here for.
Yeah, football de Americano. It's been a lackluster 2 weeks. I mean, we didn't film last week, so there isn't too much that happened. There isn't over the course of half a month, there isn't much that happened. But we do have some, the stuff that did happen is pretty paramount to what's going on right now. And, you know, firstly, let's kind of get the elephant out of the room. Some sad news out of the Vikings rookie class, 24-year-old cornerback Kyree Jackson played at Oregon, was killed in a car crash last Saturday. Pretty sad stuff. He and two former high school teammates, Isaiah Hazel and Anthony Jackson, were involved in the wreck. All three died. Kind of what happened was they were back near their hometown, and I don't know specifically where that is, but Hazel was driving a Dodge Charger I wouldn't say a high rate of speed, but at a fairly high rate of speed. And both Jackson and both Jacksons were in the car at the time. And essentially what happened was an Infiniti tried to merge over into that lane without looking to see who was in the lane next to him, ran the Dodge Charger off the road. They smashed into a bunch of trees, killing Kyrie and Isaiah instantly. Anthony Jackson, who was in the backseat, was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead a few hours later. Pretty sad. It came out a few days ago that the police in the area are basically looking at alcohol as one of the reasons why the crash happened. And it looks like from blood toxicology reports, the person that was involved in the crash that ran the people off the road, she was drunk. Sounded like she had two other people in her car. None of them were injured, but she was arrested for involuntary manslaughter, three counts of it. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you guys updated. But it's really sad because, I mean, he looked really good this year, or I guess last year, fourth round pick out of Oregon, like I said. It sounded like from mini camps and all that stuff, he was going to be competing for a starting job on an organization that I think desperately needed defensive play. So I think he could have made an immediate impact, but unfortunately we'll never get a chance to see it. And I think it's another, you know, it's another important factor of, you know, a lot of times we see this on the opposite side where Henry Ruggs, right? DUI kills somebody, but we don't often see the player killed from another drunk driver. That doesn't really rarely happen. And I think it just kind of speaks to, just the ongoing amount of people that decide that maybe they can drive drunk when Uber's never been cheaper. I mean, it literally costs $12 for me to go Lyft, 10 taxi, miles down the road. Exactly.
Electric scooter, bike.
So personally, she killed three people, regardless of who they were. She can rot in
let
jail.
Her rot.
Yeah, that's her decision.
Bottom line is don't drink and drive.
Yeah. So
it's really fucking sad. And honestly, the last two off seasons, we've seen this quite a bit, but not this type of way. So
not it's in this very context
sad for the Jacksons. And it's even sadder because he's our age, man. He's our age. Yeah. Like he was born just starting his life, just starting his career in the NFL. I mean, it's crazy. That's literally how old we are.
Yeah.
That could have been one of us. So don't drink and drive, and don't take life for granted. That is for damn sure.
Big time. Sad. Just don't do it. Yeah. So rest in peace to his family. I wanted to say that first because the rest of the episode is, you know, going to just be random football stuff. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Rest in peace. Let's get into some suspension talk, shall we? Two pieces of information, but importantly, Cam Sutton has been suspended 8 games after being charged for domestic violence and misdemeanor violence back in March. At the time of the arrest, he was on the Lions, who promptly cut them. He is getting suspended 8 games without pay as a result of this. So
I'm sorry.
Bad luck.
Cam Sutton, you fucking suck. You suck
so bad
on and off the field, bro. He was awful last year.
He was so awful bad
last year for the Lions. He was the worst in that secondary. And then you go and do this. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. How can you be bad on and off the field? It's like, shit. Again, this just goes back to what we were talking about, Keaton. It's like, whenever these guys don't have a schedule or something going on during the season, or if they're retired, they don't have like football at all, they just get off schedule completely and they go haywire. It's like, why? Why?
I agree.
Is this his girlfriend? So obviously
there's a structure.
Not his wife, right? He wasn't married, correct?
I don't know. You know, from the article that I'm reading, it sounds like, I don't know. It doesn't necessarily say, but it says the warrant was issued March 7th after police in Florida responded to a call at a house where Sutton allegedly battered a woman before fleeing the scene. It does not necessarily say who the woman was.
So the Lions actually cut Sutton in March, and then he signed with the Steelers in June afterwards. And now I'm assuming he's probably going to get cut again, or maybe not in the 8 game. But if he fucks up again, he probably will.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't cut him. They just gave him an 8 game suspension, is what you said?
Yes. Because, you know, the NFL doesn't care if you beat women, but they do care if you take a drug.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like super good with punishing anyone regardless, but domestic violence, if you do it once, you get away with it. Twice, you're gone.
I agree.
But I mean, also, it's also like, why did you guys keep him? He sucks. He fucking sucks. Like, he's not a good cornerback.
And it's not like what it sounds like. Horrible. Yeah. What it sounds like is he was, so on March 7th, the warrant was issued, and it was for domestic violence. So it was probably just a woman he was seeing or dating, whatever. But he skipped out on the warrant for 2 weeks, which is why the Lions cut him. And I think we talked about this because didn't he go MIA?
Yeah.
Didn't he just like, no one could find him? Okay. Yep. And then on March 31st, Sutton turned himself in and was booked into jail. He was charged with the battery. And then he did an intervention program and a diversion program. So I think he's come out and said, that he'd like to change and, you know, you're a woman beater, not much you can do to change, but if you,
you're just a fucked up,
I don't know. Being. Yeah. You're just a shitty human being.
Funny enough, there's a quote here and, I mean, there's nothing he can do now. The Steelers punished him, but it says adversity strikes everyone in life, says Sutton, excuse me. So it's all about how you handle it, how you necessarily go through those phases and just knowing who you are individually, not letting someone else dim your light. Well, you got dimmed, but you're not getting paid for half the season. So hopefully you get a little bit more than that because we do not condone domestic violence or even like it at all. And the NFL seems to kind of throw it under the rug for some reason, especially if it's your first time doing it. So I don't know. I hope that, you know, he plays well or even better than he did with the Lions, but he was awful with the Lions and he's obviously not the greatest dude too. So kind of praying his downfall.
I agree.
He also during the middle of the season was memed on a lot.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Like there were multiple analysts that were picking on him.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think there's so many instances of times when a player, you know, honestly, I've always thought about this as like Josh Gordon, for example. Josh Gordon, wide receiver, played for like 7 different teams. Seattle was one of them. Yep. And he couldn't stay in the league because the guy just liked to smoke weed, right? And we've seen it time and time again with retired players. They came out and they were like, that's the one of the few things that I wish I could have done, because they put you on so much painkiller, you actually at times get addicted to it. And they were like, weed is, you know, doesn't enhance your performance. It just helps mitigate how you feel in your injury. But they suspended him for years. And I mean, it got to the point where he was pretty much blackballed. Like he'd never get on another team again. Obviously you get suspended so many times, it's going to happen, but, weed is not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. You know, if he was a heroin addict, I would say, yeah, get him out of the league, man. But someone like Kareem Hunt, man, there's a video of Kareem Hunt kicking a woman brutally in a hotel room, and he was suspended for just a year. And obviously,
the elevator video.
Yes, and obviously, Josh Gordon was suspended for a year several times, 8 games several times. Right, so at some point the leash wears out. But it's amazing to me that something like a violent domestic abuse case, in which a man beats up a woman, or you know, football player beats up another person. It's amazing that it's treated the same as a non-violent crime or violation of personal conduct.
And weed's legal in most states now.
Yeah. And like now
it's not technically illegal within
and now
like
the NFL
state. It's just something the NFL and the NBA and all of them don't like.
Well, and
just treat it as a drug, which it's not, it really isn't. It's kind of recreational use now.
Yeah. The NFL stopped testing for THC. So they don't even really care if players use marijuana anymore.
Makes no sense.
Yeah.
But if you hit a girl, you get an 8-game suspension.
That's it. And it's funny.
It's non-negotiable.
I agree.
There's severities. Suspended for at least a year, or you're just thrown out the league. Non-negotiable.
Yeah, there's severities of the situation.
Bro. Like that's the one thing you can't do. Thrown out the league.
No, there's severities of it, but. But yeah, like the NBA doesn't test for marijuana anymore. The NFL doesn't. There's leagues that don't care anymore. But yeah, I think it's just the way that they determine what suspension and how long a person deserves to be suspended is crazy. And look, we're already on that note. Deshaun Gibson, Former 49ers player, is a free agent this year, played the last two seasons with the team, played really well in 2022-23 season, fell off a little bit last year, but he gets suspended for 6 games for violating the league's PED policy. What he said in, and I want to read this because he's not going to appeal this, which is very unheard of because a lot of players appeal a suspension like that. But he's a free agent. He's played 13 years, 34-year-old defensive player. He came out and he said, during this offseason, I took a supplement one time, which I thought to be completely safe and well within any of the NFL's policies. I was in no way related to performance, or it was in no way related to any type of performance, training, or gaining an advantage of any kind at any time. I have felt I have competed at this level for a long time and have nothing but respect for the game and the fraternity of the players in it. The NFL's policy on performance-enhancing substances is clear, and I take full responsibility for anything I put into my body. It is with great disappointment that I accept this suspension, and I do so knowing that I have never even attempted to cheat the game. I look forward to returning for my 13th NFL season and helping a team compete for a championship. So,
okay, I have two things to say. Number one, one of us should actually pull up a picture of this guy because he's massive. He is a big-ass safety, like muscular as hell. So I'm not going to say he didn't know what he was taking or if it was a performance-enhancing drug or not. But, I mean, genetics can only take you so far. And he's also – how old is he, 34?
34. I think
he is. Yeah, he's 34. You get a little up there in age and you start slowing down. The muscle doesn't start becoming as hard, I guess, for lack of better terms, just because you're getting older, man. You don't put on as much muscle as you did in the past. You don't really keep as much. You get a little bit slower. So it kind of makes sense that he could have taken something. But in all reality, if he's coming out and he's actually saying that, you know, he took something that he shouldn't, it probably wasn't steroids. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty massive, dude. That's crazy.
He's massive. Right. He's a big ass safety. He's like 220.
Yeah.
And like when you get older, man, the muscle doesn't keep on your body as easily. You start to get a little bit flabbier. Then I don't want to call him out, but we saw that a little bit with Russell Wilson. You know, it's just one of those things. When you get older, you get slower. You're not as athletic. Like I said, the muscle just doesn't stay on. So maybe he took something that could have been a performance-enhancing drug, and he knew it. But in all reality, I mean, if he is admitting to it, I'm just going to give him his flowers and say, hey, you admitted to it. You fucked up. You took whatever it was. I'm curious as to see what it was. But, I mean, good for him for admitting to it. It is crazy that he's a free agent and he's still wanting to play because after the Super Bowl, there were rumors that he was going to retire, which I thought he was going to, honestly. And I was like, okay, like it makes sense. He's 34. Has had a great fucking career and honestly a really, really, really underrated career. You look at his stats, he's like top 5 in the league for when he's been playing in interceptions, which is not something like I feel like he's necessarily wasn't known for with the 49ers, you know? I mean, I guess maybe he's been known for that as like a ball hawk in the past, but with the 49ers, I don't think he was known for really interceptions like that, you know?
Yeah.
I want to look
to be a defensive guy playing that long. You got to have, you got to have an immense talent. Yeah, it's not easy.
He's been playing since 2012.
Yeah, so like Bobby Wagner.
13 year.
Bobby Wagner's my favorite safety I've ever watched play, obviously, because I'm a Seahawks fan, but, you know, he's probably one of the scariest. No, I'm sorry. I meant Cam Chancellor. Whoops.
Yeah.
Cam Chancellor.
I get a lot. Cam Chancellor's a top 5 safety, in my opinion, and he might be my second favorite of all time, and he's my rival team. So I love watching him play.
Cam Chancellor was great, but Cam Chancellor only played like 10 years. He couldn't play.
Yeah, 10 years. He fucked up his neck.
Wears out on your body. And the fact that Gibson has been able to make
Patrick Willis.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Patrick Willis. Great, man. Once
they
got injured
to the point where they couldn't play to their S tier ability, they didn't want to play anymore, which makes sense. But I mean, Deshaun in 2022 had 5 interceptions. Last year, he had a little bit of a slower season. Again, more of a tackler, but he had 1 interception. So maybe he did have a lot of interceptions with the 49ers. In 2022, he had 5. 2023, he had 1. He had 6. He has 33 over his whole career, which for a safety is pretty fucking good.
Pretty crazy. I
mean, he's been pretty fucking decent, man. He played for Cleveland and then Jacksonville, Houston, Chicago, Niners, and now we'll see. Who needs a safety, though? I feel like everyone's just taking young safeties at this point.
Seattle.
That would just be like Jamal Adams all over again.
Yeah, well,
we'll see, though. I mean, good for him, though, for admitting to it, because a lot of people don't. I mean, we saw with DeAndre Hopkins. He was like, no, I didn't take anything illegal, and then he appealed it and
lost.
Nothing happened to that guy. Yep.
Yeah, and I think they just – I don't – I've never understood the appeal process, because if you're getting banned, I can understand if you think you have like a legitimate case on an appeal and be like, hey, this, you know, this is like a gray area. But like, if you got popped for a test, that means that they're testing for it. And if you got popped for it, like, I don't understand what your appeal process is.
What are you appealing? Yeah.
Like, are you, I think sometimes, they want to appeal. Like, they're going to take the suspension, but sometimes they want to appeal for like a lesser sentence. But oftentimes it's actually a fairly good sentence. Like, they could give them a three game sentence. And it's like, dude, just fucking eat it. Like, it's with pay. You're going to be okay.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, it's cool to see some humility. Like, hey, I didn't do anything wrong in my head, but I'm just going to eat it and say, hey, fuck it. That shit happens. But it's crazy. He gets six games after, you know, not doing anything. And Cam Sutton gets eight games for two complete. And so that's
what we're talking about.
I think the NFL should be questioned for a lot of that stuff. But, you know, it's not our decision.
And personally, honestly, that's been like the NFL for a while now. That's how the NFL has ran this shit for, I mean, as long as I've been alive watching the NFL. They don't really punish domestic abuse more than drugs or anything that's just small, you know, which they should, because that's one of the main things. It's like a no-no. It's a no-no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ideal.
Yeah. Ant, you got any thoughts?
No. I mean, you guys pretty much covered up all that. No thoughts on that.
Cool.
I agree. Well, everything that you guys said.
Well, go ahead.
You think there's a reunion in the future that we could be seeing?
Who's a
typical guy that has been in the news this offseason that could potentially meet up with his star wide receiver he played with in the past?
Yeah, Devontae Adams came out today and said that Aaron Rodgers has basically been in his ear trying to recruit him to come play for the Jets as a wide receiver. Pretty nuts, man. And I'm going to bitch real quick. I don't understand what is and isn't. What is the word? Thank you. Yes. Tampering. I don't understand. How can he say that? And that's not tampering if he's under contract with another team. Is it because it's in the offseason? I don't know. But then you look at the Brandon Ayuk stuff, and he's been with Jaden Daniels well before the offseason started. Yes. So I don't know. I don't know how this stuff works. It's like, honestly, the tampering shit is like the balk rule in baseball.
Yep.
There's a ruling on it, which I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's tampering. But then you watch it and you're like, oh, wait, that's what they're saying is the rule, even though that doesn't look like what it's supposed to be. Like, yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It's got to be like upper management. It's got to be upper management. Like,
I don't know. Owner, I don't know.
GM, someone reaching out to player, because players talk to players all the time. We see text messages on social media all the time. But again, Aaron Rodgers this offseason, man, he's been not really quiet. Like, we've seen him in a lot of podcasts and like videos of random shit that he's been talking about, like him going on that trip. And then he also talked about he talked about another wide receiver. Wasn't Devontae, maybe it was Jordy Nelson, but there was another piece of news that we saw as well. And now it's like, okay, you're trying to get Devontae back, and I understand it, but in all reality, it just can't happen. And you know, it's not gonna happen. At least this year, it won't happen, but it would be sick. That fucking offense would be electric. You'd have Breece Hall, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Garrett Wilson. It would be a top three offense.
Be really good.
I think if Devontae went to the Jets and reunited with Aaron Rodgers, I think that'd be so awesome, honestly. Reliving that nostalgic feeling, I think that'd be so cool.
Agreed. In a Jets uniform would look so fucking crazy. But I think if Aaron Rodgers comes back and he plays decent, like 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, like he typically does at his older age, right? I think there's a legit shot Devontae goes there next year. Not this year, but next year.
Right.
And they might be a Super Bowl contender.
But how long, you know, let's say – I mean, now we start getting into the what ifs, you know, because I think it leaves a lot.
But that's
up
the thing,
for,
yeah. It's like, the thing. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be healthy?
Is he going to be able to play next year? Are they going to go for a quarterback? Who the hell knows? Who knows? But it would be sick. I might not like the Jets. I mean, I don't hate the Jets, but I might not be a fan of them. I think it would be still sick to see Devontae Adams.
It would be good for football. It'd be good for football.
It would be.
Could we see a reunion next year, though?
Yeah, maybe. I could.
I mean, it's definitely a possibility.
Because here's totally the thing, Davante Adams right now, with his situation that he's in right now, you have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell fighting for that first spot at quarterback. Yep.
And it's like Devontae's getting to that point where he's almost like DeAndre Hopkins was before he got suspended. Like, he's getting to the point where he's a little older, still has some left in him, but he's a little older. He doesn't want to play with some random fucking quarterback. So I honestly think I could see the reunion happening next year. I mean, do you guys think that we could see the reunion even this year?
I think at this point,
the reunion would have to happen next year.
I don't see why they would trade him. I think they need every hand that they can get in Las Vegas. I could see next year. I could see next year if they can get some valuable pieces for him, but it depends because what if he sucks this year? What's his value like?
With
their quarterback situation, we don't know.
But I know Devontae's not been the happiest. Let's just say
Hasn't
been the happiest in the Raiders or with
no,
the Raiders.
Derek Carr left, he's been pissed.
But we also saw that they wanted to keep the core together. And what did they do this offseason? They got rid of Jacobs. So,
I don't know. So we'll see.
I just think Devontae's contract has to be coming up pretty soon. But I mean,
check that out for me.
He's not going to get paid $30 million again. At least he's.
I agree. I think he's on the downslope of his career.
If he was to take a pay cut, my God, the Jets would want him for sure. And it would make sense to me. Although that offensive line needs some buffing, but we'll see.
It does.
We'll see.
Well, hey, look, let's
I'm looking it up right now, but
While you're pulling that up, I'm gonna jump into something we've talked about. We talked about two weeks ago and the week before that. So within the last 3 weeks, we've covered this twice, but let's cover this up too.
So he signed a 5-year contract in 2022. So he'll be an unrestricted free agent in 2027.
Yeah, so he's got
he'll be done with the Raiders. He'll be retiring a Raider unless something happens.
And they could be good this year. They could make a wild card this year. I think their defense is gonna be good.
They could be like 9-8.
I'm excited.
They could be good.
Yeah, exactly. They could be the Pittsburgh Steelers of Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Steelers, 9-8.
Realistically, though, I think that they could finish second in that division.
I think they could too.
I think they should be the favorite to finish second.
Well, and I mean, you're looking at, I mean, Justin Herbert never going to do anything in his career because he's the most overrated quarterback of all time.
No wide receivers.
He doesn't matter. You can give him the greatest core wide receivers. He'd still somehow look shitty.
The Broncos might be the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, Broncos are going to be
not good.
Disaster class.
No.
So, speaking of very bad, and I know we were talking about punishments a little bit earlier. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL getting punished and what that means for us. So I talked about how the NFL violated antitrust laws 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, but I just want to give a little bit of a recap because we got a ruling on it, and this is what it means for you, the consumer, and some of the bars you go to, like a Buffalo Wild Wings, and what it means for them. So the NFL was filed, or I guess the NFL Sunday Ticket had a lawsuit filed against it for violating antitrust, which is basically... in a nutshell, in sports, it's basically collusion to build a monopoly. So, for example, antitrust might apply to Albertsons being bought by Kroger. There is a possibility because it basically monopolizes the grocery industry and eliminates a lot of small ones because now they really can't compete with the lowering prices. That's what that means, right? And so the NFL, basically what they did was they squeezed out higher and higher prices and restricted the amount of people that could watch Sunday Ticket and basically held the knife to their throat saying, hey, if you want to watch the Seahawks, but you're in Dallas, Texas, you have to pay $500.
Some bullshit.
So there was a lawsuit against it. And we got a ruling 2 weeks ago, I believe right before our episode finished up. They had to pay $4.7 billion in antitrust for violating laws. That being said, though, with actual antitrust cases, we have seen very commonly that the ruling amounts have tripled, sometimes quadrupled, and it's possibly looking like if this holds through, which the NFL is appealing, they might have to pay upwards of $15 billion
Holy fuck.
Back to consumers and back to businesses. That would also mean that they would lower their prices exponentially.
Hey, I'm getting in on that.
Yeah, me too. I I'm gonna tell my mom. We might get a bag, baby. Wait, here's the question. Settle Down podcast is profitable from the NFL? Roger Goodell pays us? Okay, so here's a little bit of backstory. In 1961, the Sports Broadcasting Act was created. This gave sports leagues and organizations the ability to bypass antitrust laws and essentially collude all they want to gain a stronghold on broadcasting rights. Prior to this, each team had to negotiate broadcasting rights with local networks. But when that law was created in the 60s, the NFL could act as one major player and basically go to each area and say, hey, who's the highest bidder? And it basically gave them power to group up. And it's why, like in baseball, for example, we see Bally Sports, which is started as a casino, and now they own like 60% of the baseball broadcasting rights, even though there might be better broadcasters. They own it for the Kansas City Royals. Dude, the quality of the broadcast sucks ass, but no one else is willing to shell out that much money, and they hold the rights. Well, here's the issue. The act is only in compliance if broadcasters or if like the broadcasting rights are supported by ads and are on free TV, right? So what the NFL did wrong was they restricted access for the individual to be able to get broadcasting viewership on a free TV. And so then they restricted like Comcast from being able to have Sunday Ticket. And so they made it exclusive to DirecTV. So the consumer actually had to buy DirecTV to use it. They made it exclusive to YouTube TV and they made it ad free. It's a little confusing when you start getting into the nitty gritty, but essentially where they fucked up was they restricted places like Comcast and Dish TV to have Sunday Ticket and made it exclusive to only subscription and paid television, basically. And so, yeah, they've been violating the act for a long time. And it wasn't until they kept jacking up prices that people were finally like, hey, let's start a lawsuit. And the courts were like, oh, shit. Yeah, they were violating antitrust. And so it looks really bad on them. And so kind of what this looks like, if you're a team, let's say you're an owner of a team, you might have to pay almost $500 million. Each team will probably have to pay upwards of $500 million. To help supplement this $15 billion possible antitrust thing. But what that That's means so is that money is going to be coming back to us. So much like what was another one? There was like an Uber one or something like that recently.
Yeah.
Where like you get like 11 cents. This one's going to be substantially bigger. Yeah. If it gets even close to $5 billion, people are probably going to get $100. Because it's not like there's 300 million subscribers for this. And what we're going to see is we're probably going to see a lot of bars get the majority of the money. And then consumers like you and me, like individuals, will get some. But what I think this means is that within the next few years at this rate, the NFL is going to have to start dropping Sunday Ticket prices. They'll probably be forced to. And they're going to take this all the way up to the Supreme Court if they have to appeal this because they think it's baseless and without merit. Hey, the consumer has won, baby. This 2024 might be expensive, but it's the year of the consumer.
You're
gonna
lose, NFL. Don't do anything. Take your loss now.
I would let them get ahead of the appeal if that makes sense. Like I would let them win if that meant they got rid of Roger Goodell. Does that make sense? Like a trade, kind of like a trade a little bit. Like trading Brittany Griner for like a Russian arms dealer kind of type shit. Perfectly one-to-one.
That is wild, though. That'd be a crazy trade-off.
It would be nice. We'll give
you Roger Goodell. You guys don't get any money in the lawsuit.
Yeah. The consumer would still win. No matter what, I think the consumer comes out on top. But yeah, I mean, it's a little confusing, and I apologize if I didn't explain it great, but Essentially, it's just the NFL fucked up. They violated the rule that they helped lobby.
Hopefully
we get our bag, Queens. I mean, we're girl bosses. Let's get our bags.
Yeah.
So,
that wraps up the NFL section.
It does.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know, we actually talk fantasy football. So we're going to.
We're also a fantasy football group.
So. Yes, we're gonna start implementing a little bit of fantasy football stuff. So this week, I mean, we have a couple things we could talk about, but I feel like we should just bring up, you know, one question that we've been thinking about. And to me, I think the best question is, what is a hot take player that you think could go in the first round but isn't on all the cheat sheets and the mock drafts that you're seeing? And I have a player that comes to mind instantly. I'll let you guys answer first because I came up with the question. I know my answer, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna look up a cheat sheet real quick.
If you're ready.
Now, are you talking like it could be a really good player, but like you think they're just a little bit too low in the draft? Like,
yes, exactly. If there was 32 players and this player is like your number two wide receiver, your number two tight end, your number two running back, but he's getting drafted typically in this mock draft at like 33, who is the player that you think should be in the first round that's not?
I'll just straight up say it.
Maybe I should have went first because I have my answer and just let you guys.
I have my answer.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it then.
Honestly, my answer to this would be, I don't like how, and this could be a hot take for sure, but I don't like how two players, one Isaiah Pacheco and Derrick Henry, both projected to be drafted late second round, early third round. I can't stand that thought. Can't stand it. I'm like,
yeah, on Fantasy Pros, I see Isaiah Pacheco at 11, which I don't know. I think he's too high, but Jonathan Taylor is also at fucking 5. So I would
Taylor at 5. I don't like how he should not be taken. I don't think Jonathan Taylor should be taken in the second round.
Now go opposite of that, Anthony. What's a player that you think should be taken that isn't being taken in the first round that you see? That you see having a lot of success and should be taken first round, but he's not right now. And that's what I'm going to say with my pick. But I want to see if you know a guy or you think of a guy. Okay, so you think Achan is going to do really well. And he's ranked actually running back 10 right now on Fantasy Pros. So I don't know, man. There's a lot of players. I'm going to give my overrated player and the player that I think I would take a risk on, right? Anthony, you can finish. Sorry, because I interrupted you.
No, you're fine. I was going to say, I think Achan, 100%. The man went off last year. He did. I think when you have that kind of Miami offense, when you have Tyreek Hill, who else is Tua really going to give that ball to a lot? I think it's going to be Achan. He's the main back now. I think he's officially solidified it. And if he was able to do what he did last year, no doubt in my mind, I honestly think he should be top five, honestly, our running back. When it comes to fantasy.
Agreed.
Very well could be. No, and I think
he could maybe even end RB2. Is that
I think so too. No, I don't think that's too high. No, I don't think so at all.
I don't think so either.
I think Achan's going to be one of those players that you should take in the first round. And if someone doesn't take him in the first round, you snag him when you can. ASAP.
Agreed. And I think CMC is going to be the first pick. He should be.
CMC should be the first pick.
I think he'll have a bit of a down year compared to last year, but he'll still be really good.
There's that Madden curse. So do we really want to pick CMC if you're number one overall pick?
Look, man, look. Talking about number one overall picks, I've seen a lot of guys, if they're not going with CMC, they're going with a wide receiver from Dallas. CeeDee Lamb is going to have a down year. He's not going to have the same year he had last year. And I don't think he's going to be wide receiver one. I don't. And a guy that is wide receiver 7 on Fantasy Pros right now that I think could be wide receiver, I don't know, 3, 2, maybe even 1, Garrett Wilson. I would take the risk on Garrett Wilson. He had 1,000 yards. He had 1,042 yards and 3 touchdowns with Zach Wilson, who was fucking MILFs and not playing football last year. Like, he had 1,000 yards with Zach Wilson, who was not playing great football.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really good.
I mean, I think with Aaron Rodgers. Granted, though. At all better than fucking Zach
Wilson. I'm going to be honest.
50% of what he was when he was healthy. He should go off.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, though. To that point, I think Also, the fact they did not have Breece Hall, who for not the whole season, but for a good chunk of the season, I think that played a part into it because Garrett Wilson's numbers didn't drop, but they weren't as I don't believe near the end of the season he was productive or as productive as he was prior to Breece Hall.
Well, yeah, they also were just running the ball more because they had
nobody
throwing the ball. But
it makes sense.
So,
no, but I think he'll still have a better year.
Underrated.
Totally.
Another
agree.
Guy that I think is very underrated as well is Rashad White. I mean, in PPR, he's perfect. Man,
Rashad White is amazing.
He's thrown to a bunch. Jahmyr Gibbs, another guy. I might take him number one. I'm not going to lie. Like, if I don't have the number one overall pick and it's not CMC, I'm taking him over CeeDee. I can guarantee you that. I'm also taking him over Breece Hall and Bijan.
Are you going to?
But I'm high on a lot of guys.
What if you have it? What if you have like a lot of good stud like running, wide receivers out there? Like, what if you have the chance to take like Tyreek, JJ, or Jamar? You know, or AJ Brown.
I would take Tyreek Hill and Amon over Jahmyr Gibbs.
Puka even.
So my top five, I think, would be this: CMC, and then I would go Tyreek Hill, Amon Ra, and then this is gonna be so fucking hot. But I think I'd go Jahmyr at four. And then five would be Justin Jefferson, possibly AJ Brown. And then I'd go CeeDee. I just don't see it. I just don't see it with CeeDee. I don't think he's going to have 1,800 yards again and all the touchdowns that he did. I just don't see it. And
yeah,
I think he's
fair.
Just getting glazed a little
yeah.
bit. And realistically, Breece Hall and Bijan, when they're healthy, they're great. But I mean, that Atlanta, okay, there's an argument for Bijan because that Atlanta offensive line is very good. But again, we saw with Bijan, we saw with Breece. Like, are they going to stay healthy? Are they going to be consistent? So,
not going to lie, Bijan was a big letdown in fantasy last year.
Exactly.
Lie. He was horrible.
And, dude, Anthony, the last 3 years, every single time I say this, I say, hey, there's a running back that was hurt last year. He's going to be great. I did it with Saquon. Ass. I've done it multiple fucking times, man, where it's like, hey, they were injured. That's why they didn't do well. And then they don't do well. So, I'm going with my gut with players that I think are going to do great. I just don't see it. Also, the tight ends this year are just going to be awful. Sorry.
Keaton, and that's funny you say that.
Say your thing, and then I want to bring up something about tight ends actually real quick when it comes to fantasy.
And then we'll end it.
Okay.
Getting a little late.
Two things. One, I think overrated player right now, probably DJ Moore, and I'm going to get a lot of hate for that, and I'm only saying
that.
And I'm only
that.
Saying
I'm
it
about that.
Because I, one, think – Romo Odunze is going to be better than advertised. I actually think he's probably on par with Marvin Harrison Jr. At times he was better, and at times it was the opposite. However, I've got no faith in Caleb Williams. I haven't. I've said this, and I stand on business. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be as good as people project him to be. And I'm just being honest.
I agree with that. I agree with
that 100%.
I'm just being honest.
That being said, looking at this list, one of the ones that – kind of makes me scratch my head a little bit is the love for Kyren Williams.
Dude,
look, came out like a dog, played awesome when he like finally when he got his moment. But it's the same with the Puka Nacua stuff. It's like teams didn't know how to plan around him. Now they do. Now there's going to be more scrutiny to play. Now he's back number one. I don't necessarily think he can produce. That being said, go ahead.
Going off of that, are the Rams more of a throwing team or a running team?
I think they're a good hybrid, but I don't know if Kyren Williams is going to be as good.
Again, Kyren got the ball a lot because Cooper Kupp was injured quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And Puka got a lot of volume because Cooper Kupp was injured too. So it's like those two are going to take a bit of a hit, I think.
But also, even when Cooper Kupp was in, though, Puka was getting a lot more of those receptions.
Puka's a dog. Puka's a gun.
Puka is a dog.
But
I think, honestly, Puka needs to be taken in the first round as well.
Look, man,
opinion.
When Kyren was getting the ball, I mean, he was averaging 5 a fucking carry. So it's hard to argue with that. But, again, I could see it. I could see it. The Rams are a hard team to predict, honestly.
No, they are.
I have one more. I have one more overrated player and one underrated player. My underrated player, David Njoku. David Njoku is predicted to go in the third round. My ass is taking him if I get a chance. I'm just being honest because he's a dog. But the fact that he's tight end number 9. Yeah, he did. The fact that he's tight end number 9 after the year he just put up and he's only getting better is really good. And he battled with different – I mean, he had like four different starting quarterbacks, and he still had a hell of a year. At times, he had like 200-yard games, 150-yard games. I think another productive season like that, yeah, you're going to start getting him in the top five of tight ends.
Yep.
My overrated player, and I'll make this really fast, and my actual first-round overrated player, I'm going to be honest, Derrick Henry.
No way.
Granted, and this is my thing, fantasy football, it's running back heavy. On this cheat sheet, Derrick Henry is listed as the 10th best running back for fantasy. He's still projected to go within the top 20 because you really take your running backs first. I don't think he's going to be as productive as people make it out to be.
There's no way he's worth a first-round pick.
I agree.
I don't think he's worth a first-round pick.
I agree.
I think he's early second, in my opinion.
Takes too much of that fucking offense, man. And I get it. He's going to hand the ball off to Derek, but you also got to use him with his legs, man.
And I said this last year. I said this at the end of the last season, that Lamar Jackson – is as good as he is because he can run. We have watched it, especially who did they lose playoffs. To? It was who did they lose to in the playoffs? Thank you. Chiefs, yeah. When they played the Chiefs made him be a passing first quarterback. And other than the Zay Flowers fuck up, he screwed up a lot of times. And he did not look himself. Bad. He looked uncomfortable in the pocket. He couldn't really get out because they were swarming him. I think if you take his legs from underneath him, he is not a great thrower. He's not an MVP caliber player. Derrick Henry, if you don't give him the ball, he's not a receiver running back combo. He's just a pure running back. I don't know if it's a good fit. I think he'll be great, but I don't think he's worth the first.
No.
So
fantasy wise, it's not good. I think it'll be a good fit for the Ravens though.
Yeah. I think KJ Osborne probably is my first overall pick.
Yeah.
God. So real quick, I wanted to bring this up though. What's your guys' opinion on the rankings that Sam Laporta is going first over Travis Kelce?
I like it.
I don't mind it, but I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it either.
I think makes sense why he is, just because Travis Kelce doesn't necessarily turn it on, especially the older he's gotten. He doesn't necessarily turn it on until the later half of the season, which we saw a lot last year, but look, man, I think the Lions are getting overrated. I'm sorry. I'm saying it now. I think their whole team's getting overrated besides Jamar Gibbs. Realistically, I could see them losing the division. I don't know. It's a hot take to me. But, again, I like Laporta. Do I see him number one? I would never take him with a second-round pick. I could tell you that. The earliest I'm taking a tight end this year is third. And I don't even know if I will do it that early. Honestly, I might just take a decent one and just hope he goes off.
That's fair.
Realistically, wide receiver and the running back talent right now is through the roof compared to tight ends. I mean, they have Kincaid, I think, what is it, fifth on this list?
Yeah.
He's top five in most lists. It's like, not to say he's bad, but is he worth a fucking third round pick? Absolutely not. Fourth round pick?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, that's totally fair.
Definitely.
Well, cool. Well, I think that ends
our episode.
The episode.
God, I'm excited for fantasy.
I'm so ready for it.
That honestly got me really excited.
Team Jerkin Goff, baby. Jerkin Goff. That is the new name. You know what?
That's
Hot Tub Time Machine. Hot Tub Time Machine has been retired. It is now Jerkin Goff.
It's had its time.
Yep.
Its time.
We switch apps. We switch names. So.
Yes.
All right. Hey, if you guys want us to talk about anything fantasy-wise, throw it in the comments.
We will talk about it. We'll be more than happy to talk about fantasy. Yep. We'll probably keep talking about fantasy too little bit.
Exactly.
We're less than eight episodes away from football, baby.
Hey, we'll continue to talk about it. You guys,
there's a countdown
at us, and we'll ask a question every week.
Yes, we will.
Eight weeks.
Ocho Weekos.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for staying tuned with us for this wonderful episode with me, Keaton, and Zach. We appreciate it. Please go give our Instagram a follow in the End Zone Podcast. Please continue to share and love us and support us and settle down. And be sure to subscribe, like, and we'll see you in the next video.
Peace.